All right, let's pray. All right, Father, thank you for this morning. We do pray you bless our time here, all of our special friends and family and guests. And we're so honored and blessed to be with them and with you today. And thank you so much. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. The American culture is quickly decaying. Does anybody know why? I think one word, fathers. I'd like to blame everything else. I'd love to blame the media. How many would like to blame the media? It's not the media's fault. How many would like to blame certain political parties? Wouldn't that be great? It's not their fault. How many would like to blame the colleges and the higher education institutions? Not their fault. How many would like to blame Jason Martin? You would nail it if you said that. No. Not his fault. Jay, it's not your fault. You're welcome. It's Katie's fault. No, it's a... fathers, we're the problem. Say, well, it's not me. Well, you know it. Fathers in general. There's an epidemic of absenteeism in the fatherhood role. How many know what I mean by that absenteeism? And I'm not just talking about single-parent homes. I'm not just talking about moms who are, the father physically leaves and leaves his dear woman to raise her children or child. I'm talking also about distracted dads who abandon the responsibilities of being the kind of father that God has created men to be. They can be right there in the home. They can be part of the family life, but they're absentee. Many times they're emotionally not present and disconnected. Sometimes they're workaholics. They're there. They live there, but they're very busy about other things. You know, maybe Saturday is golf day, and Tuesday night is this night, and then this night is this night, and they're never there. They don't take their children along with them. They don't invest in their family. So you can have a father who's right in the home, and he could be an absentee father. How many understand what I mean by that? And that's not a whole lot better than the other. And kids without strong fathers or good dads, and this is from two studies that I read. One of them is the Barna study, and another one was from UNICEF. And they said these top five things are more likely to happen, almost twice as likely to happen to a young person with an absentee or no father present in their life. You ready for this? Number one, more likely to end up in poverty. Number two, they're more likely to drop out of school. Number three, more likely to have children out of wedlock. Number four, they'll more likely to develop addictions. And number five, they're more twice as likely to end up in prison. Why do you think we have an epidemic of poverty and dropouts and unwed parenting and addictions and prison? Absentee fathers. In all races, absentee dads. The result of absentee fathers, a child will have diminished self-concepts. They will have a physical and emotional insecurity that makes it very difficult for them to handle things. They will have behavioral problems, much more likely because of a lack of social adjustment skills. You know, dads often teach those kind of skills, hopefully by example, social adjustment skills, handling pressure, problem solving, things like that. They'll have oftentimes poor academic ability because of a lack of personal discipline, and other things as well. I don't want to depress you, especially if you may be in that situation. Because in God and in Christ, there's great hope. And there are great solutions, biblical solutions for all these things. So I want to talk about what a biblical father is like. And dads, I just want to say this to you today. None of us have made this list. None of us have this nailed. Nobody has this nailed. Everybody understands that, I hope. Nobody's got it nailed. We're all growing towards this. And If something strikes you as I'm going through these things today, then, hey, you know, good for you. Yes, I want that. You know, I want to grow in that area. Maybe at the end of each point, I'll ask you if you want to grow in that area. And if you're a dad who wants to grow in that area, you can stand on your feet and say, I want to grow in that area. All right. So it's a very heavy. You ever have you have a very heavy atmosphere when you're speaking? Is this heavy in here? Is it a little heavy? Heavy topic, right? And I just depressed you with a bunch of statistics. But they're real, you know, and if we can do anything about it, if anyone can do anything about this stuff, it's us, right? All right, so first of all, I want to just say in Ephesians chapter 5, one of the first things that you can do to be a biblical dad, to be a better dad, to be a really good father. Ready? This is one you may not expect. How about this? Love their mother. You want to be a good dad for your kids? Love their mother. The picture that a young man sees and a young woman sees when daddy loves their mom is profoundly powerful. There's no greater thing that you can do as a man than to love your children's mom. Bible in Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. There isn't anything more important. There isn't anything that the Bible tells anyone to do that's more severe. There's nothing more severe than anything you're told to do as a Christian man than this right here. This is the most severe. I'm using the word severe for purpose because this will cost you more than anything else. This will cost you more than going on the mission field. This will cost you more than tithing and, you know, giving up vacations to serve. This will cost you more than your weekends at Habitat or at some event you're attending in service to your community. This will cost you more, but this will be the sweetest. And this will bring you the most fruit of anything you do in your life is to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. He gave himself for her that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. Now this is a role in loving your wife. You need, and I need, to be in God's Word, you know, more than anybody. You know, I heard somebody say, well, my dad did a family devotional, you know, and yet he was, but he was an alcoholic, you know. And I said, okay, that's not good. I'm glad he got you interested in the Bible. Unfortunately, he didn't model anything. Somebody asked me the other day, he said, do you read your Bible every day? And I looked at him and I said, no, I read your Bible every day. I sneak into your house and do devotions with your Bible. And then I highlight funny verses. That way later you read them. You know, don't boil a goat in its own milk. Why did I highlight that? All right. So being in the Word of God as a man, very, very, very important. Because that's what you'll transfer. And remember we talked about the difference between a contrived life and a derived life last week? You remember what that meant? The difference between one is like a manufactured copy of something, and then the other one is something you get from God. The derived life is a life I get from God. You know, I can't give my family anything I don't get from God. So when I'm in my own devotional space, when I'm in my own worship with God, Now I can provide my family something, and I can love my wife as Christ loved the church. That's the highest, most important thing that a dad can do, without a question. God bless you. That's a dad sneeze. Isn't that that was a dad sneeze. How many of you know what I mean by a dad sneeze? Mom sneeze. Choo. Dad sneeze. When my dad sneezed, the house shook. You know, he was something. My father was something. I was thinking about him this morning. You know what a great dad does? Great dads have a great whistle. You know, when they call, they can call you in the neighborhood. Who's got a great whistle? Anybody? Who's got a really good one? Let it rip. Let's hear. My dad could do that. Yeah. When my dad did that, you know, it was amazing. You know, other kids would come to my house. You know, mine, they'd be outside when I was on pine. You know, a robin. It's bad. Second thing dads can do, dads should do, is train and guide their children. Train and guide their children. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 11 and 12. Proverbs 3, verse 11 and 12. Says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. A parent that doesn't correct and guide their children doesn't love them. How do you love your children? How do you show love as a dad to your kids? Buy them whatever they want? Let them do whatever they want? No. Train and guide. That's how a dad shows love. Moms show love's different. Moms show love much differently than dads do, don't they? How many out of your mom showed you love differently than your dad did? Right? Because moms do everything different than dads do. You know? They'll help you find stuff different than your dads do, right? You know, your dad, you tell your dad, like my guys, they'll say, yeah, I lost my wallet. I say, it doesn't matter. You never pay anyway. Get in the car. Right? Yesterday, Paul bought me breakfast. Let's give him a big hand. $4,000,003 to 1. That's great. No, just kidding. Mom's a little different. You ask mom where your wallet is, and she'll say, well, it has to be somewhere. Wow. Where did that wisdom come from? It has to be somewhere. I never thought of it like that. I've been looking for stuff that doesn't exist all my life. But moms are... We have these conversations in the house. It's like when you can't find your shoes. Moms will have... They'll look around and help you find the other shoe. Dad, doesn't matter. You got one shoe, can't find the other one. I don't know. Get a 5-gallon Ziploc bag. Let's go. Put that on your foot. Let's go. Show up to the car with, you know, a rain boot and a flip-flop. Get in the car. We're going. Mom, you can't leave like that. You got to have both same shoes, all that stuff. So moms and dads definitely train and teach much differently, don't they? Yes. Moving off this topic quickly. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Now, this doesn't mean, you know, well, I taught him 3 Bible verses when he was 4. Why is he a drug addict? You know, that's not what that's talking about. Training, this word for training here means consistent, regular investment in training and guiding. Not willy-nilly, a plan to train. Doesn't have to be a formal plan. It's got to be a heart commitment to train up your children in the way that they should go. Do they always want to go the way they should go? No. Do they always want to finish the season on the ball team? No. Should they? Yes. Why? Because they made a commitment. They're going to keep the commitment. Or we're raising a generation of quitters. Train them up in the way they should go. Oh, you started karate class? Yeah. We will stop when you become a ninth degree black belt. You are going to finish the course. No, they do it on their own. I would quit. Why? How many have ever gone to those karate? You ever see a karate class? It's like, wow. How many of you have taken karate or are in karate class? You are, really? That's awesome. You have? Huh? Taekwondo? I didn't know you took it. Yeah. All right. So, who else? Desiree. Right. Your black belt. Desiree. Raquel. Another one. Another black belt. Riley. And then who? Nice. You're taking a class? Kathy. Did you raise your hand? You took karate? That's awesome. Hoo-yah! All right. Kathy will be our new guard at the door. That's awesome. Don't quit. Don't quit that. Don't let your kids quit. Don't let your kids quit things. Don't let them quit stuff. Unless it's smoking. You know. I want to quit. No! I got you another cart here. No quitters in this house. At all costs. When there's a tube coming out of your face. No, that's a little, I went a little too far with this. Sorry. That last part got away from me. Oh, boy. All right. So train up your children in the way they should go. That means you are working with them, and oftentimes they're going to push back a little bit. Right? Now, I want to say a word to moms. Sometimes moms got to do it alone. These things, I think this, I really believe this. I think God gives moms who have to do it by themselves a very special grace to get it done. They'll have to make a lot of sacrifices. And by the way, if you're a single mom or you've done it on your own, God bless you. And you should be able to turn to your friends who love you and your church especially and get help as you need it. And you really shouldn't have to ask for it. The guys in your church ought to spot your kids once in a while and do something with them. And if they don't, you may need to just talk to somebody, give them a little nudge, say, hey, take what's-his-face out. Beat him up somewhere. Take him to the golf course or the driving range or batting cage and, you know, and you can use your kids to do it. You know, guys, if you know, we have some single moms here in our church. They shouldn't have to wait for us to step in. Even moms in the community that you know who have kids. You and your wife, do it with your wife. But, you know, have a plan to love up some kids in the school system that you know. Because there's tons of them. Sue comes to me every now and then. She says, you would not believe. And I think the statistic now is almost 50%. It's nuts, 50%. If the divorce rate in the United States is 50%, don't you think that that's going to also reflect on young men and women growing up with no dad in the home 50% of the time? It's going to be close to that. So train up and guide your children and do it as best you can. How many of you men would like to get better at that? Yeah. Here's number three, provide. Provide. 1 Timothy 5:18, Paul said, if a guy doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. He's worse than a thief. But providing isn't just you're bringing the paycheck home. You're also providing the atmosphere. You're providing leadership. You're providing much more than just money, you know. Because I know there are some homes where, and this is great, I love this, some ladies make more than their husbands do. And they actually provide more financially to the family than the husband might be able to do. But that's not the only providing that a man needs to do anyway. Some guys get real insecure about that. You know, woman starts making more money than, don't be an idiot. Enjoy it. Let them give you some of that money. Let her buy you a pair of shoes, whatever. So don't get insecure about that. Just remember, you're providing something much different than she can provide or should provide, right? You're providing an atmosphere in the home. You're providing the direction for the family. By the way, do you know anybody? Let's do it like that. Do you know any men whose wives do all the planning of the schedule? All the planning, all the vacation planning, all the financial planning. They do all of it. Don't let that happen in your house. At least do it together, you know? Some guys are so passive, they let the woman do everything. You ever been to an airport and you get up to you're in the airport and the husband's standing behind his wife and she's at the counter doing all the talking. He's got this little, what do they call those straps with the babies on there? He's standing there like this. He's got all the bags. And she says, okay, I'll bring the stuff over here. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. And he walks up and, you know men like that. How many ever seen men like that? I've seen that. I saw that in an airport once. I still can't get it out of my head. The guy was such a loser. Come on. Take some leadership. Give her the baby and get up to the counter and deal with the ticket crisis. Because obviously there was something wrong because she was flailing her arms at the woman behind the counter. Huh? The Disney fathers. Disney. One of my friends said they were coming back from Six Flags over Darien Lake, and the kids was crying in the back seat. Joey's father took their family to Disney World. Just ungrateful. Just leaving Six Flags. That's how ungrateful the kids were. They're doing something wrong in that household. What he should do, I've got a great place we can go. How about not Disney World? How about Third World? I want a Happy Meal. You'd be happy to get a meal. No. Here, let's see if the light switch doesn't work. That's because there's no power in the house. A little gratitude. Take somebody out to a place where... You know, but we got them going to Disney World. We're taking their kids here. We're taking them there. And we're just amusing them. And that has nothing to do with providing. You know, dads want to provide nice things. We want to try to take a vacation, get away from other people, get away from the work, get away from the stress, the kind of day-to-day stuff and do that. Great. Camping? Okay, if you like camping, go camping. You know, camping is, for me, it's just too moist. It is. Just get up in the morning, you're all moist. Like, you know. We had that tent. Remember that tent? My wife's father gave us his tent, this giant green army tent. You could fit 40 people in it. We still have that tent, and notice it hasn't left the bag in 10 years. And I never survived a night. We try it. I get halfway through the night. You know, you got a stick in your back. Trucks going by, because we weren't that deep in the woods. I wasn't going to go that camping, you know. And you get up and, you know, you're all moist. So providing for your family is more than financial. Everybody understands what I mean by that, right? This is number four. Biblical fathers are like their heavenly father. They are, in Psalm 103, compassionate and merciful. You won't connect with your children unless you have some level of compassion. Meaning, do you remember when you were a kid? How many of you remember? I know it was a long time ago for some of us. But you remember when you were a kid? The dumb things you did and the way you got hurt and the stuff like... I was thinking about it the other day, like, we would take our bicycle and drive down a hill and hit, you know, go over a piece of plywood that had cinder blocks on it and jump other kids with no helmet on. And here I am. You know, can't can't walk anymore, but here I, you know, we're, and, but, you know, compassion, so your kid gets hurt, and compassion, dads. It's okay for you to be, it's okay for you to be compassionate with your kids, right? They're dealing with a lot of stuff we didn't have to deal with. I mean, they're getting nailed. They're getting bombarded with stuff right now. You young kids right now, you're getting hammered with stuff. And you know what? You're going to make it because you're here. And you're hearing about Christ and you're hearing about God. You're going to make it. But a lot of your friends are going to have a tougher time without God. They're going to have a tougher time without something bigger than the world to lean on. Right? We have something bigger than all this stuff coming at us. We have God. We have Christ. And we're loved. So a dad needs to be merciful and compassionate with his children, and he should never quit on them. That's number five. I was thinking about the story of the what's called the prodigal. It's really about the dad. Because the story starts out and it says, a certain man had two sons. It's a story about fatherhood. Luke 15, turn there and we'll look at it. Luke 15:11. A certain man had two sons. What's the story about? A certain man. It's about the dad. And as the story goes on, you know, story. Son says, I'd like my inheritance now. Give it to me. And the father says, okay. Son takes off, destroys his own life. And the father, though, it says here, as he arose and came to his father, while it was still a great way off in verse 20, his father saw him and had compassion. And ranting. While he was still a great way off. This was a wealthy man. He had servants, we know. So this was not a common guy. This was a wealthy dad. And many people that I've read, and one in particular said, when he saw the son coming a distance, he had heard he was coming home first. And then he went looking for him. And he ran through the town to go get him. He ran through town. Wealthy guys did not run anywhere. This guy ran to his son. He never quit on him. Apparently, there was already a fatted calf. And usually, you don't have a fatted calf unless you're expecting to do something. He kept a calf fatted for the return of his child. That's called expectation. Dads need to have an expectation of their children that they're going to be fine, that they're going to make it, and be there for them when they fail, regardless of how far they fall. Regardless how far they fall, you keep your expectation until they're gone from this life. You keep your expectation that they're going to turn around. You keep that expectation. You pray that expectation. You keep that expectation. You hold that expectation. You communicate that expectation. You keep that calf fatted and be ready to celebrate. They're going to come home. And that's what you believe in your heart. Because when they were young, you trained them up in the way that they should go. Never quit on your kids. So we have love their moms. Train them and guide them. Provide for them. Be compassionate and merciful. Never quit. And pray for your family in 1 Chronicles 29:19. It's really a sin to not pray for your family. I pray for my youngins all along. All the time. I pray for their safety. I pray for their guidance. I pray that they, their spouses, that they would find a great spouse. God answered one out of three so far. We'll see what happens with the other two jabronis. But We tell Gary, we prayed for you for years. We didn't know who he was. We prayed for him for years. Boy, you have a great son-in-law. Somebody tell him, he's a great guy. I said, well, of course he is. We prayed for him. We did. She was probably 5, 6 years old. We started praying that way. Lord, one day she's going to find somebody. We pray that he's a great guy. We pray that he loves the Lord. We pray that he's a drummer and a Red Sox fan. Boom! Get a knucklehead. All right. How do I do this? How do I do this? I'm a dad. How do I do this? I'm in the house by myself. I'm a mom. How do I do all this? Here's a couple real practical thoughts, okay? Number one, speak positively to them. Speak positively. My dad had a way of turning the dumbest things I did into something positive. The strangest skill. I wish I had it. He just knew how to... There was one instance, I threw a baseball through a window in the garage. And my mother was a little more emotional about things like that. Let's say that. And, she came out with very colorful emotion at that time. And that was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And she said, when your father gets home, you're going to take him in the garage and show him what you did. Because he's told you 100 times, don't play ball in the yard, near the barrel shed, or you're going to hit the window. And Mom was like, when the ball went through the window, it didn't just go through the glass. It was the wooden pane window. It hit right in the middle of one of those four cross and broke 4 panes of glass. Of course, I couldn't just break one plane. I had to smash the entire structure of the window. Car pulls up. Here comes Dad. Go out, meet him in the driveway. Well, can I let him come in the house first and, take his coat off? I'm going to be the first thing that hits him in the face is the window. She said, go out in the driveway and tell him. Hey, Dad, how was your day? Good. I did something earlier I got to show you. Open the garage, there was glass all over the floor. He said, all right, what happened? I said I was throwing the yard and I was doing long toss, just long throws. And I threw it over the barrel shed through the window. Where were you standing? I said I was on Mr. Smith's front yard. You reached the house from there? That's amazing. That's amazing. You broke my window. That's a great throw. Get in the house. We're going to go to Rocky's Hardware. We had a place called Rocky's Hardware. We're going to go to Rocky's Hardware, and we'll get the stuff we need, and I'm going to show you how to fix this window. So I get in the car, and I'm like, okay, he hasn't blown up yet. I haven't heard any four-letter words come out yet. And I'm like waiting for the shoe to drop, and it never dropped. And I'll never forget that. That was one of the greatest things. Now, here I am. Think about that. Here I am, 40 years later or better, telling you about that story. That's how much of an impact it had on me. Dads, be careful that you stay positive. Number two, try to create a vision for what they can be. You know your kids better than they do, don't you? You know your kids. You see when they're little, this one's going to be a CEO. 4 years old, you got, this one's a lawyer. You know they negotiate. How many of you have a negotiator in your house? They can be the same person. There you go. How many of you have one of those in your home? The negotiator, right? You have the negotiator. How many of you have the delegator in the house? One of them is the delegator. You got another one that's a negotiator. Sometimes you have one of those. Sometimes they're all the same person, and it's a, Then you have the instigator. The instigator. Everyone's pointing at Derek. Tucker, I'm sorry. Usually the instigator is like the second, third, or last born. They're very unique in your house. Because Tucker is he the instigator? I would imagine like you could probably categorize each one of those guys. That would be fun to do, to have like just label them now and ruin their lives. No. So, but they all have the different thing, and you know what they are. And you can take that and say, listen, we can have a vision. An instigator, that's a leader. That's a leader. The organizer, like I have, there's one, I know one famous guy, he'll clean anything. You put him in a room and just say, straighten it out. And you leave the 15 minutes later, you go back in the room, it's like, everything's in, everything's wonderful. You know, he's an organizer. That's great. There's, and you speak into that and have a vision for that and show them what that can look like in real life somewhere, somewhere down the line, you know. Create a vision for what they can be. Don't always be there to tell them what they can't do. Life is filled with no. No, 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 no. You realize that most communication with parents with young children is two or three letter words? Don't do that. Come here. Time to eat. Clean your room. Go to bed. Turn off the TV. Turn down the TV. Turn up the TV. Get me the clicker. Mic it. You know. Give me, you know, and it's these short little sentences, and they're all commands, and there's very little, how are you? Tell me what you're thinking. How are you doing? What's happening next? Hey, let's go over and do some work on someone else's house. We're going to go over and do this today, whatever the case may be. Good communication. Keep it positive and create a vision for what they can be. Number three, build, this is an interesting one. I was thinking about this last night. Be a bridge to grandpa. Be a bridge to grandpa. There's a grandpa around. Tell the stories. Get him in front of grandpa. Let grandpa be part of their life. Be a bridge to grandpa, because one day grandpa is not going to be there. And grandpa is amazing. I don't care who he is. Grandpa was a veteran. My father was a World War II veteran. My other father is a lieutenant colonel. A lot of people don't know this about Karen's dad, was a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force, you know. These are great men who made great sacrifices for their country. Be a bridge to grandpa. Be consistent. Try to be consistent. Your demeanor, keep your consistent, a consistent demeanor. Have daddy time every week or mommy time every week. Go on a date one-on-one with your kids. We have families that do that in our church. You know? Whether it's a pink donut and a strawberry milk or breakfast at the cafe or over at the Bee's Diner, wherever you do on your Saturday mornings, keep a time for your kids that you do something with them on a regular basis. It's just you and one of them. It'll pay off in the end. And then this last thing I'm going to say is, know them and be known by them. And here's what I mean by that. Let them see every side of you. Don't hide your weaknesses from your kids. Don't hide your failures from your kids. I don't want my kids to know what I did. Why? You still doing it? No. Well, then tell them the story. How did you win? How did you win? You know what I want to know from my parents? When you were losing at something, when you were getting beat up, how did you turn that around? Wouldn't that be the most valuable lesson you could teach your kids? What got it turned around for you? You were struggling with your weight. How'd you turn that around? You were struggling at work. How'd you turn that around? You had a hard time in your marriage. How'd you turn that around? Maybe you had a hard time in your marriage and it didn't turn around. How did you make it through that? How are we going to go forward? What's the plan? You be known. Know and be known by your kids. And when you blow it in front of them, the worst thing for you to do is make excuses. How about this? I was wrong. I blew it. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Let's try that together. Let's practice. Ready, men? I was wrong. Say it. I blew it. It was my fault. So you're really good at this. Well, that's true. You are married. Most. And please forgive me. See, if you get those words out of your mouth to your kids, how many have ever been really mad and said or done something with your children that you regret you did? You went a little too far with your anger. Or they, rather than discipline them because you love them, you discipline them because they were annoying you. I know. It never happened in our home. Never, not even once. I'd like to say that, but you know I'm joking. When you discipline them because they're annoying you or they're disrupting you or they're distracting you or whatever they're doing, how about you say, hey, that was way out of line. I am so sorry. Please forgive me now. Get out of my space. No. Daddy needs some downtime. Here's a question you may want to ask yourself as a kid here. How can I help Dad be a better dad? Maybe your dad's not the greatest dad on the planet. Maybe you think he is. I know he does. Just ask him. No, you may think, so how do you help Dad or Mom do a better job? And it's not just by being obedient to them. We like that. That's nice when you do what you're told. That's great. But is there anything else you can do? What else can you do? Julia, any suggestions? What else could you do? Have fun? Edify. Edify. You mean edify your father? How would you edify your father? Compliment. That's a noble idea. Hey, how about compliment Mom when she cooks? You know, compliment Dad. You know what dads would love to hear from their kids? Dad works all week long, and he does it out of love, and he's 40, 50 hours, or Mom is out there 40, 50 hours a week. You think it would be great for you to recognize that? Kids? Hello? Derek's got tons of... Wouldn't it be great for you to recognize the effort that they make for you and say, I don't know, thank you? That'd be really cool. Never said thanks to Dad growing up. I don't remember any time that I ever said thanks to Dad. Can't think of a time. Maybe at Christmas or a birthday, but not a random walk up. Hey, Dad, thanks for coaching all those baseball games. Hey, Dad, thanks for that. And, you know, I'm not saying you get to manufacture an insincere thank you, but you know what? They would love to hear you say that. Yes. Thank Mom and Dad. It would mean a lot. Edify. Excellent. Pray for them. Pray for Mom and Dad. If you're in a home where it's just Mom, pray for Mom. And sometimes you're going to have to do some stuff Dad would do. You know, you're going to have to do some things for Mom that Dad would do. Take the garbage out, cut the grass, change the light bulbs. You know, because guys, it's so hard to change a light bulb. It has to be done by men, you know. Kill the spiders. Set the mouse trap. Right? Boys, set the mouse trap for Mom. Weed, how about this? Weed around the shrubs. Is it possible for you to help weed around the shrubs? Mom would love your help. That way Dad doesn't have to help. No, just kidding. All right, guys, how many of you want to be better dads? And, you know, moms help dads be better dads too. So happy Father's Day. Know that you're deeply loved and appreciated, all of you. And you have done an outstanding job. And I see your children here, and you've done a really, really great job, dads. And moms, too, you've done a phenomenal job. And some, and again, I just say, because there's so many single moms, I just say, you know what? When you fill both roles the way you do, it's a gift from God, and it's hard. And we know how hard it is. And we commend you for the effort and know you're going to be fine. You're going to make it. Because sometimes you probably think, I don't know how I'm going to do it. You ask God, and then you get help if you need it. Just ask. Don't be afraid to ask. You know? Especially those who have Christian brothers and sister-in-laws and family in the area, you ask. Okay, you're going to be all right. Amen? And you're going to be victorious, and you're going to do great things. So, Father, we thank you for this church, all those that are here today. who heard this message, and we pray, Lord, you'd help our men, our dads, and our young men who are going to be dads one day to keep these things to heart and to do them and to be biblical fathers, we pray. Thank you for all the families that are here, the young kids, the single moms, the dads, the grandpas, grandmas. Thank you, Lord, for our families. We pray you bless our fathers special today as they're spoiled rotten by their kids. In Jesus Christ's name.